What's your take on all this, John?
Well, again, I think my major concern is exactly what Cliff had raised, that these patients had been called HER2 positive somewhere by someone, and therefore there may be possibilities of problems with the retesting, and that there may be technical issues that we don't fully understand. Tumor heterogeneity has been raised as one possibility. But at the end of the day, this question is one where I believe a round robin with the blinded analysis of these samples would help determine if there have been obvious technical concerns with the assay. I'm not suggesting it's happened, but it has to be done because that's one of the two possible explanations. There's either a testing error or there's new biology, and we have to differentiate those two. And it strikes me that it's a relatively trivial task to retest and show that there is not a major technical issue accounting for this discrepancy, and it's a relatively large task to conduct a prospective randomized trial. So the logical thing to do is do the retesting, and if clearly there's no technical issue here, then launch the adjuvant clinical trial.
Could I just ask soon, is it possible that we could be looking at trastuzumab in truly HER2-negative patients, maybe bringing this issue of there's a difference between metastatic and adjuvant in terms of immunology, tumor burden, that maybe we have an agent that could lower relapse rate 50%?
Yeah, so let me answer that in two different ways. In support of Bob's comment on immune mechanism of action, actual survival benefit in B31 seems to be almost restricted to central assay negative cases. Actually, there is a trend for interaction in the opposite direction there. That suggests that maybe lower tumor burden or almost a small amount of the receptor might be also even better for responding to the immune mechanism, paradoxically. But that's obviously speculation based on whatever we observed in the data. And number two, for this idea of round-robin assay idea, I mean, obviously, we have a conditional approval of our concept by CTAP that we can move ahead with a trial if we do a kind of a round-robin study. So we are moving ahead with three independent review, FISH and IHC assay by three independent pathologists. But having said that, I think it's an extreme waste of material and the resources to do that, because the best way to validate a test is by looking at biological parameters in different angle, not to repeat the same assay. I mean, we can do that 1,000 times, and we're stuck with variability issue always. We know that from BCIIG trial, there was already 20% discrepancy central versus peripheral assay or local assay. So it's not surprising that we found the same thing in NCCTG trial or NSAB trial. Actually, the discrepancy rate in NSAB trial was only 10%. So there's no reason why our HER2-negative patient is any different from BCIIG-negative or NCCTG-negative patient. And we already done a biological validation looking at even microarray analysis on 400 cases, demonstrating that these cases have absolutely no evidence of having gene amplification in chromosome 17.
So I repeat my question. Is it possible that we have an agent right now sitting there that we're using on 20% of patients that would have the same benefit on the other 80%?
There is a possibility. That's why we want to try.
Interesting.
I think we've done enough biological studies to demonstrate the validity of the central assay. There's no reason to repeat the assay 1,000 times.
Edith and then Chuck.
I think we need to look at this in a prospective fashion. We will participate with Soon and Bob Jenkins from USC in this round robin. But I just think we've done multiple analyses, certainly in our specimens, because if we found the tumors to be negative both or normal by IHC and FISH, we send them to LabCorp for completely independent review. Plus now we've had our pathologists reread the specimens. We've done now about a fourth of the specimens of N9831, reread the same specimens in a blinded fashion to see how good they were with the original reading. So we can redo the same assay over and over. But I think there's something here that I think we owe it to our patients to proceed with the prospective study in a carefully done manner. And the study we have proposed to CTEP is a randomized trial for patients with 4+ nodes, because these patients actually do fairly poorly with all the chemotherapy drugs that we have out there. And here the chemotherapy will be at the investigator's discretion and stratification for anthracycline and non-anthracycline regimen based on investigators' discretions, looking in the correlative portion at molecules that could be involved in the development of metastasis, as well as immune mechanisms that may help us explain the hypothesis.
I mean, granted, gross versus microscopic disease, but what about looking at it in the neoadjuvant setting in HER2-negative tumors?
We thought about that, and we thought about the numbers, but we're interested here in disease-free survival. So doing neoadjuvant really would not give us the answer we're looking for.
You agree, Soon?
I agree, because the mechanism might be completely different.
Chuck?
This information is flying in the face of a lot of very careful, elegant work. It's flying in the face of metastatic disease. You know, there remains these concerns. So to me, the doctors should treat patients who are eligible for the trials right now, but I do think there's enough that a trial to look at this question should move quickly. I don't understand why, based on what's out there, people would start treating HER2-low patients off protocol.
Yeah, and certainly I don't think anybody would endorse that at this point, but just the possibility that maybe a few years from now we might have a tool that's going to lower relapse rate, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I've been hearing this, well, they were called HER2-positive elsewhere, testing, et cetera, but today things look different to me as an observer from the outside of this. Hi.
My comment is, this is the bulk of the patients, and I think this is an easy trial to do. And we learned so quickly how effective this was. The stakes are too high. I think it would be terrible if we missed this. We don't know the mechanisms of half the things we use, and this, is, to me, is no different. The investment is really small for the potential gain here. Most people don't go on trials. I think people would be happy to randomize these patients, and we can't afford to miss this. If it doesn't work, we're done. But if it works for whatever reason, God, we would all, I don't think we would have any good recourse if we found out someone else or someone else found this was effective in 5 years and we missed the opportunity. So I think we should do the trials. I can't believe retesting and micromanaging all the stuff is going to answer the question because of all the issues. You cut a new slice of tumor on. I think we can do it. It's due diligence, but I think a trial is fine here.
The key challenge is going to be to properly identify the tests and the criteria and the parameters that will be used for trial eligibility. I think that's...
No, I disagree. The key is to get the group that isn't currently in the trial, get them in, collect tissue, and use the trial to figure this out, or you're never going to be able to do it. I mean, yeah. To me, draw the line and pull them in.